Amen. Amen. 40 years we've been around. Hey, before we get into any of that, though, again, just want to reinforce what we were hearing. Could we have the house lights just a little higher, please? Just a little bit higher. I'd like to see their faces. I want to know who's paying attention. Sorry. Again, just the words that came forward. All those words, those three words, those words of exhortation came forward. They were all speaking about dealing with things that are blocking you from pursuing God. They're getting in the way of you seeing God and running after God. And again, I think that's profound, and I don't want us to run by that moment. A scripture that runs through my mind in the midst of that is that it's out of Exodus chapter 34. It says, God says he's a jealous God. But not only is he jealous, he says, jealous is my name. Like, that's one of God's names. We don't hear about that name. He says he's jealous for you. He's jealous. When you're sharing your affection with something else, usually it's a thing, not a someone. Sometimes it's a someone. But he's jealous. He says he's jealous for you. Okay? And God doesn't want to be jealous. Okay? I mean, he wants your attention and affection. That's the God that you serve. And so when you're battling, when your mind's battling with these things, you need to see that first off, God says this is bad for you, but also, I am for you. I am for you. Give me your attention and your affection. Because we struggle with being double-minded. You struggle with getting consistency in your life because you bow your knee to other things. And we can say ouch instead of amen, okay? Because that's what that is. But we need to accept that. We need to accept that if we're going to go forward, all right? So let's just pray. I just want to pray one more time. Again, God wants to see you overcome in your life. So, Father, come before you. And, God, for any of us in this room, and believe me, there's many, God, that find themselves in this moment, they know, yeah, they are in a battle. God, I don't want to surrender this to you. Or God, I think I've surrendered enough to you. If you think you've surrendered enough, that's definitely a sign you haven't. Okay. Father God, Father, convict me where I need convicted. Father, speak to my soul. Lord, do a work deep down inside. I'm a jealous God. He's so jealous, he says that the sins in your life will be carried on 3 and 4 generations beyond you. He's a jealous God. He wants your attention and affection. He's a jealous God. He's had his son die that all of the things of the past are broken. Father, take us to that place. Don't let us run by this moment. I want to bow my knee before you. Jesus, set people free today. Set people free today. Don't run by this. Amen? Amen. Amen. He said, my name's Gary. I'm the pastor of this Brighton Heights campus of Bridge City Church. Glad you made it out today. I do just want to share quickly about when we had those people come forward during the worship time. None of that is scripted or planned. We believe that the Bible says that when we get together like this, people have spontaneous things, spontaneous exhortations to give to one another. We get that out of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the 14th chapter. He said, when we come together, people, some have a psalm, some have a hymn, some have a prophetic or a timely word. And we practice that here, right? That's what we practice. Why? Because we believe that God wants to speak to you. Amen? I hope you've heard God already. I hope you sense his presence. I hope you're encouraged, even if you're convicted, because if you accept conviction, it always leads to encouragement. Isn't that good? That's the God that we serve. So, 40 years of existence. You know, 40 years is kind of it's for me, it's a big deal. For my wife, it's a big deal. For Aaron Dovey, it's a big deal, right? Because he was here at the very first service. We were here at the first service of course, this campus. But Donna and I were there when we, 3 weeks after the church began in 1982. And actually, I went to the third week of its existence. I was invited. We were invited. Donna didn't make it. You say, well, why wouldn't she come? Well, you see, we had just been married 19 months. We had our oldest son, Josh, and she was 4 months pregnant with our second child. And we were 23 and 22 years old. So she had her hands full. Our business, we started a year before So we had a lot of things going on in our lives, but we knew Jesus was the answer, just as we were singing about today. We had found Jesus Christ and went, man, we had a desire to serve him. We had a desire. I'm talking about right when this church was starting 40 years ago. We had a desire to pursue him. And when we found out that Christianity was more than a moral code of conduct, right? And it was more than just some religious stuff you do on weekends and holidays. It changed our lives, right, lady? It changed our lives. We had to live for something more than that. And so we're just hungry. I mean, we're just looking for God. We're looking for the Lord. And again, because we knew, because we found out that God wants to literally empower us. He wants to empower you, not just to live a better life for you, but to be able to give yourself away and help other people. And that was something that was in our hearts. We just want to help people, right? Again, just want to do that. And man, I thought God wants to supernaturally do stuff like this. Like this is great. This is great. How do we get involved in this? How do we pursue this thing? And so honestly, we were serving God a little over a year. We actually got saved in a Catholic church, and a priest was instrumental in leading us to the Lord. We knew, though, after a period of time, just doctrinally, we had some serious issues. We had to move on. I don't say that apologetically. That's the truth. And so we found ourselves in a big church that was like 15 miles from our house. It was like revival every Sunday. Again, we're talking 1982. It was great. It was just so cool worshiping God. But what we found, though, was it was so far away, and there was absolutely no body ministry. So we didn't know anybody. We just kind of slid in and slid out and made our 40-minute trip home. And so what happened? It was real exciting for a bit, but it couldn't keep us. It couldn't keep us. It wasn't worth the ride. Worship was good, but it wasn't that good, okay? And so we'd start missing a week, then miss 2 weeks and 3 weeks. So we were looking for a church. And we're brand new believers. I mean, we haven't been discipled. We just love Jesus. And we're living our lives for him. And I was reading this scripture out of Ephesians. And this is familiar to some of you. Paul's writing this letter to Christians in Ephesus. And this is out of chapter 2. Joel, you got this slide, please. There you go. Okay. It says, this is what I was reading. It says, now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all God's holy people. You're members of God's family. Together, we're his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus. We're carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And through him, you know, we're being made a dwelling where God lives. And I'm thinking, man, where's that church at? Like, where's that one at? I want to be part of that. And then the same day I was reading through the, it's a short book. So I was in chapter 4 and Paul continues with this. And he was talking about how we build one another up. And he says, this will continue until we all come in such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full complete standard of Christ. Wouldn't you like to be there? Wouldn't you like to be mature and measure up to the fullness of Christ? Amen. That's what we desire. And this is appealing to me. I'm thinking, this is it. And it says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. It helps the other part. The body is healthy and growing and full of love. And I remember I'm reading this in our kitchen in Turtle Creek, our apartment. And I'm reading this. I'm saying, God, this is your church. Where is it? Where is it? Because I'm not starting a church. Little that I know that about 8 years later we started a church. This burned in me. The body of Christ, the relationships that we have as a family is so necessary, so important for us to be able to live this life full. Not just a God-serving life in church. I'm talking about life, period. You want a full life, you don't do it alone. You don't do it alone. We need other people in our lives. And I'm looking at this saying, wow, everybody has a part to play. Every part is important. I want to be a part of that. So then I'm invited to this church. And again, so he said, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something raw. I'm looking for something real. I'm looking for something that people really care and are going to hold one another accountable. We're going to go forward. And I walk into this church. Now, it wasn't a church. It was a dingy funeral home in East Pittsburgh. And there were about 11 people there. And we just like met in like one of the little rooms where you'd have a casket. And we met in this room. And this preacher who I had not met, named Keith Tusey, he opens up and preaches out of Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 4. And I was like, I'm home. I'm home. This is where I'm supposed to be. Went home, shared that with Donna. We came the next week with a baby in her arms and a baby in her belly, and we made up a third of the church right away. So, and see, but I'm telling you, listen, it was these scriptures, though. This thing of we need to do this together. This cannot be done alone. And we want the fullness of the Holy Spirit to move. It does not happen on your own. We've got to do this together. And for 40 years, that's been something we've looked to continue to do as a church family. And I'm excited to be able to celebrate 40 years and to be part of this. Because of what God showed us, I mean, showed me in that kitchen and Dawn and I grabbed hold of, and because of being willing to go visit this church and this funeral home that most men wouldn't let their wives go in by themselves, is God put us there. If we didn't do all that, we would not be here in this room today, worshiping God and seeing him move prophetically and bring encouragement. Amen? We celebrate 40 years. We celebrate what God has done. We celebrate that we get to do this together. Amen? You get to do it together. And, you know, we come from all crazy backgrounds, and most of us come from dysfunction, all right, except my kids. They didn't come from any dysfunction at all. But most of us come from dysfunction. We come from these crazy backgrounds, but God puts us together in a family. He puts us together for the purpose of, obviously, he wants you to know who you are in him, but he puts us together for the purpose of touching other people and living life full. Amen? And that's what we celebrate as Bridge City. Hey, what I want you to do real quick here is there's a card on your seat. It's blank. It's a blank card. Say, what in the world is a blank card doing on my seat? He's trying to get me to take notes. But I wish it was that easy. If it was easy enough to get you to take, okay, what I want you to do with that card is I would like you to be part of our 40th anniversary celebration next week, okay? And on that card, and you could do this now because I know you all have pens and pencils to take notes, okay? Okay, maybe not, right? Maybe not. Okay, but listen, what I want you to do is answer one of these questions, just one, if you're a part of the church family. What's your favorite memory from Bridge City? What's God done in your life at Bridge City? How do you end up here? One of those questions, because what's going to happen is next week at North Braddock, there's going to be a whole collage on the wall, of everybody just giving their little statement of what Bridge City has meant to them. Okay, so you'll be part. You'll be part of the celebration. Say it again, fill that out. Fill it out. You can drop it at Connection Point. I'll try to remind you to do that at the end. I know most of you don't have a writing utensil. I get that. All right? You can't email it in. We want it in your handwriting. We want your handwriting, your best printing. Okay? And they'll be on the wall next week at North Braddock when we get together. Because, we just want to celebrate. We want to celebrate this together. I mean, Donna, you just heard Donna and my story. Every one of us has a story. And many of you found faith here, just want to celebrate those things. Because one thing that we know is we can't do life alone. How do you know if you have these right connections? How do you know if you have these relationships that can carry you forward where you can live a full life? Well, last week, if you were here, you heard us speak about, or you could go online and listen to again, that again, we got to make sure we're building relationships on the right thing. You do not build relationships on chemistry, right? You don't build it on chemistry, on how well you get along. You build a relationship first on loyalty. Loyalty. You got people who are loyal to you. And the second we said is you need relationships that will challenge you. Good relationships are based on loyalty and challenge. People that can call you out for your stuff. Those are the relationships that can carry you. Then there's chemistry. I mean, I do want to enjoy my relationships. God wants you. There should be an inherent joy as we hang out together and do life together. But we should have loyalty. Man, and we should have challenge in our lives. But and so, again, that's what I want. So you say, you can ask yourself, do I have challenging relationships in my life? Are there people around you that can challenge you? And encouragement. Are there people challenging you to take your next step in Jesus? Take your next step. If you're not reading, get you to read. If you know you're struggling with anger, are you dealing with it? people that challenge you to take another step forward in God. Man, again, people, do you have people that can tell you the last 10% that nobody else wants to tell you? Because this is the way we want to live. God's designed you to be full as you walk in strong relationship. Ephesians 2 and 4, relationships. And we want to see you live your full life. That's God's design. I believe I'm going to be judged to some degree on how far you go in God. Right? God wants, God desires, God longs, God absolutely longs for you guys to be able to go forward in God and live large for everything He has for everything He has for you. Now, we believe that everybody here can live to their full potential. And we're just going to look today quickly at three keys. Three keys to what it takes to live in your potential. Reach your full potential. The first one is you need a father to follow, a foundation to build upon, and faithfulness in your relationships. I need you. You need me. We need each other. We've got to do this thing together. Let's just pray right now. Father, we come before you. God, we invite you in once again. Father, we want to be able to be people, Lord, who don't just wink at your truth, but Father God, we receive it. We let it go deep into our soul. We let your word transform us that we could bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So as we look at this, again, looking at 40 years and the necessity of relationships, which is so much of what we do, right? Let's just, again, just recall real quick, you know, why do we exist? Why do we exist? I mean, we exist. Let's read this together. You ready? We exist. So, that's why we exist. We exist to see people find God. We exist to see people take that next step forward. We exist to see people become fully devoted followers because then they're going to start living in their potential in God. Every one of you is sitting on potential. I'm still sitting on potential, even though I've been doing this a long time. I'm sitting on potential. Gavin, you have potential in the kingdom of God. He has plans for your life. That's reality. That's reality. And he's really working hard at trying to get you to believe that. You know, there's so much more in you than you see in yourself. And again, God wants you. You've questioned yourself so much. And the Father's trying to confirm to you that look, you have a calling. You have a calling. You have an ability to touch people. People listen to you, right? And it's hard for you to believe that, so you don't take full advantage. And God wants you to know there's such potential in you to touch people. Amen? So we can talk about that later. So again, but God wants to do that in every one of us. But how do we do that? How do we do that as a church family? As a church family, we're talking about 40 years. This is how we do it. Well, it's the G's. Gather people into the family of God, right? We gather. We want to see people come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we recognize in this thing, we got to do all of these are done together. We grow people to their full potential. We give of ourselves generously and sacrificially. We give of ourselves. Then we go into the world with spirit-led lives, and we do it all for the glory of God. We gather, grow, give, and go for glory of God. Amen. You want 5G coverage? There it is, okay? You know, one of the things, too, though, we have to, again, we need to allow the word to sink into us. You know, the word speaks so much about serving, right? I mean, Jesus said the greatest is a, what? The greatest is a servant. A servant, wasn't a trick question. The greatest is a servant. One who, he said, the one who takes the lowest position. And one of the things I feel like we struggle with in our culture, in the age we're living in, is that we don't see the joy and the honor in just serving. Many people in our culture, in our church culture, still struggle with service. I know, again, and I'm just going to compare this. I'm going to sound old, all right? Sound old? Can't help it. Okay, but when we got saved back in the early 80s, it was an honor to be part of what God was doing. I mean, just like God forgave me and you the pastor's asking me to do something. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do whatever he said. I mean, there was an honor. There was an honor. I don't care if it was there's the ladies' meeting, there's the overflow. We need you to go and stand in the parking lot. I'll do it. It don't have to ask. I'm just going to do it. Why? Because it was an honor to be lead a small group. That is an honor. It was an honor to be trusted to lead people and have. It was an honor. It was an honor to serve in any way. Can we make a meal? Yes, it's an honor. Yeah, can we again? What do you need done? It's an honor to serve, and it's something that in culture I believe it's like a spirit really, that we don't look at serving the same way. We fight this in our Western culture. All right. So if you sense something in your heart, it's like, yeah, I need challenged on that. You know, because it wasn't. Listen, we did not ask the question 40 years ago. Well, what's your gifting? It's like, no. The kids. We need somebody to help with the kids. Help with the kids. Right? And again, I recognize we want everybody in their strength. But you know what? When you're planting a church and you're just serving God and you're putting yourself in position, you do whatever it takes. But I just want you to catch this. It was an honor. So when we think, when you talk about things about being a servant in some way, I don't care if it's with the ushers or with it, if it's teaching in some way, it is an honor. Say honor. Honor. It's an honor to serve in God's house, man. It's an honor. And God wants to set us free, set you free, just to enjoy. Don't look for ways to say no. Look for ways to say yes. Yes. Yes, I can make the meal. Yes, I can help. I can help do that. Yes, yes, I can put my time in on a Sunday morning. Yes, I can do that. Right? There's a joy, and it's an honor to serve God. You know, I think when we get to heaven, some of the most decorated servants are going to be people that we'd never think. You know, it's going to be the person who, literally, it's going to be the person who just was faithful, never complained, just loved people. Stayed in the background, but they just did it without complaining. You know? And again, be aware of that. Be aware of that lie that gets into our heads. Amen. All right, so let's go. Let's roll forward here. So that's how we're going to do this. I just gave you that. There was no extra charge. Just take it. Well, how are we going to fulfill the mission? Gather, grow, give, go, because we want to give God glory. That is what we're trying to do. All of those we do as a team. We do it as a family of God. So right now we're just going to run through quickly our 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 scripture, which was the scripture that the church was really founded upon. And again, it's a family scripture. And Paul is speaking to Timothy, and Timothy is a young leader. Paul put him in the city of Ephesus. He put him there to put things in order. He put him there as the lead, as like an apostle, and he had to correct teaching. He had to raise up the church. That again, remember, he's teaching in a church and establishing a church that has no New Testament. All right, they just have this revelation of Jesus Christ that Paul told them about, and now he's trying to establish it. So that's who Timothy is. And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul writes, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. And the first thing we catch here, again, is in our first point of we need fathers to follow. Is Paul called Timothy his son? He was not his biological son. He was a spiritual son, as we tend to say here. You know, again, usually when we speak about a father, we think about the father in heaven. But Paul really here, I mean, he's speaking very affectionately. He's saying, "Look, Timothy, I'm your spiritual father. I'm your spiritual father." And we're sons. We're sons and daughters of the house, of the house that we're in right now in Bridge City. So Timothy was a spiritual son. Timothy was one who was obviously submitted to Paul in Paul's direction. How do I know he was submitted? Because when you read Timothy's story and you find out that he allowed Paul to circumcise him, all right, so he could speak to the Jews, because otherwise the Jews wouldn't receive him. Listen, any adult male that allows himself to be circumcised, he's submitted, all right? That's a submitted person, right? And he said, he'll do it. Why? Why did Timothy do that? I'll tell you why. Because he counted it an honor to represent God to the Jews. That's why. He was willing to do that, right? So drink in that reality. Drink in that, man, Timothy submitted himself to Paul. He put himself in that place. He was transparent and vulnerable. It also says here, secondly, it says, Paul tells him, be strong. Be strong. Be filled with power. Right, that's what he's saying. You got to be strong. If you are going to serve Timothy, if you're going to reach your full potential, you got to be strong. Now, why do you have to be strong? Because your head's going to tell you you're weak. Your head's going to tell you you can't do it. Right? And so he's saying, you got to be strong. My son, affectionately, Timothy, you know who I am to you. You know who my life represents. You got to be strong. You've got to be strong. You can't be timid in your faith. You got to be bold in who you are in God. And it's just, again, this is one of 25 times Paul encouraged Timothy to be strong. 25 times. He kept telling him, be strong, be strong, be strong. And you say, man, that's a little redundant. Timothy must have been a real weakling, right? How many times do you have to be told to be strong in God? Can you be told too many times, be strong? Man, God, I need to be reminded constantly, constantly. Be strong, be strong. That's what Paul tells. Then thirdly, he says, strong through the grace that God gives you. Be strong through the grace. That next slide. Okay, grace. Again, what is grace? It's unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor to accomplish God's will. Okay, that's what grace is. Okay, sometimes we say, you know, grace, sometimes we use grace the wrong way. We use the word the wrong way. It's like, give me grace. In other words, forgive me. Okay, that's really not what grace is. Grace is undeserved, unmerited favor of God that you can accomplish God's will. All right, and Paul's saying to Timothy, look, remember my son. Be strong. It's not your strength. It's by the grace of God. I have equipped you to do what you're called to do. Man, he's saying this is what's necessary here for you to go forward. This is what we want to go forward. Okay, so again, so you gotta, I just want to ask you again, this whole relational thing. Do you have somebody? Do you have someone that close to you? Now, I'm not saying you all have to have a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. I mean, I'm at an age, or some of us here are at an age where we're grandparents, all right? Now, I can still have people that I receive from spiritually, that I receive from. I respect greatly, okay? And I can still receive from them. But are you in a place? Here's a question for those that call this home. If I'm really your pastor, if I'm really your pastor, not just a title, but if I'm really your pastor, if I'm really your pastor, you trust and you do submit to the things I say. I say that in the healthiest form of the word, submit, right? I mean, you listen. Well, the pastor wants me to do it. I want to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not saying you give up your will. Anybody that knows me knows I don't mean that. But you see, but there should be this trust. You know, there should be a trust there. You know, now again, am I perfect? Am I perfect, lady? Okay. We know what that answer is. I'm not. But here's the thing. Think about this in God's kingdom. See, I always thought in the church of God, if I was in charge, if I was God, I wouldn't have men lead it. I'd like have angels in charge or something because they couldn't be corrupted. They'd always make right decisions. God designed life for us to care for and submit ourselves to one another, to imperfect people. Imperfect people. We raised 6 children. Our 6 children were submitted to these imperfect parents, right? But what I want you to catch though is at times I said, I mean I'm the Bible says I'm given to you as a gift. Are you blessed? Right? I'm given to you as a gift. Do you take advantage of the gift? Do you trust the gift? Do you allow the gift to speak into your life? Right? Right? Again, giving you things to think about going forward. Okay, because this is the relation. We should have these relationships that are just healthy. You're able to be vulnerable. You're able to be honest. Why? Because I want the best for you. That's why. I want the best. Do you believe I have the best for you? Right? But that's the real question that needs asked. Because if you don't think I have the best interest for you, then you don't want to listen to what I have to say. Right? And I wouldn't blame you. If you don't think I have your best interest at heart, I wouldn't listen to me either. I wouldn't listen. I'm not going to follow anybody who I don't think they have my best interest at heart, right? So he said, but it challenges us to look at church life in a different way. God wants you to have relationships. He wants you to be under an authority in your life in the healthiest phrase of the word, and we can't get into all that. Could do a whole seminar on it. All right, so again, so do you have that type of relationship? Let's go forward here. Secondly, in 2 Timothy 2:2, you've heard me teach these things, Timothy, that I've confirmed, that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who are able to pass them on to others. Basically saying, look, you've heard me teach these things. They've been confirmed by other people. Hold fast. Hold fast and give these things away. Man, that is what we want to do. We get these things, we receive from God, and you give it away. Everyone in this room who calls Jesus the leader of their life has something to give away. Every single one of you has something to give. Everyone. You have something to give. God wants you to give it away. Right? But you have to recognize that. Paul's telling Timothy, what you received, give it away. Don't wait till you're perfect. Dive in right now. You've got to, this is what we're called to go from consumer to contributor here. Right? Man, God's challenging us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, a few verses before this, Paul wrote this to him. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Carefully guard the precious truth. See, this again, we're built on a foundation of the Word of God is the point. So yes, we got to have relationships. We have strong relationships, but we are built on a foundation of truth. We are built on this book, all right? And you need to know the book. And we need to stand on this book. It is my guide. It's my guide on all things in my life. This is my primary source on how I handle my money, primary source on how I love my spouse, primary source on parenting, primary source for my business, primary source for my relationships. It's all right here. We've got to hold fast to the book. And he's telling Timothy, this is your job. I'm leaving you there in charge of these people. All right? Be strong. Walk in God's grace. Stay connected to the foundation. You've got to and continue to teach this foundation that people are going to hold on to it. Man, and it says the pattern. Hold on to the pattern. We're just thinking of patterns. You know, a pattern that we have here for growth is connection groups. It's connection groups. We want to be people who we recognize. We got to grow together. Jesus spent like 75% of his time, we see in the Gospels, with those 12 disciples. The vast majority of his time was with a small group. Why? Because, man, in a small group, when you're in a small group, it's a different dynamic than this. Here, I'm speaking to you. When we're in a small group, it's more of a circle, right? You're looking at each other, and everybody has something to share. Everyone should have something to share as we come together like that. And so, again, for us, for the next 14 weeks, we're asking you to develop a pattern of getting together in a small group where you can love one another, build loyalty, and challenge one another to take your next step. That's the point. That is what we want to see happen in this time. You know, think about it. It's so necessary. This is all so necessary for us to grab hold of. Okay, that we need. I learn so much more in a small group than I do in a lecture, personally. Like, this is more lecture. I learn more in a small group. There's questions that can be asked. There's things we can go forward. We can go forward in and go deeper into. And I can ask, I have time to ask Jackie, what are you doing with that? What'd you hear there? What are you doing with that word? We can do that. And that's why we need to get together like this. We have this necessity. Okay, let's go forward then. Faithfulness in relationships. If we're going to reach your full potential, back to relationships, you've got to be faithful. Listen to these words of Paul he wrote to Timothy. Verse 15 of chapter 1. It says, as you know, everyone, Paul's writing to Timothy, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygelus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. It's an interesting text here. You know what, like we were saying, relationships are built on loyalty, faithfulness. And Paul here in this short text speaks of two different types of people, unfaithful and faithful. And it's really interesting that he names the unfaithful. But his name, he puts a name on them. And again, we don't know. We don't know why they were unfaithful. We don't know why they walked away. Maybe they didn't like Paul's personality, you know, right? I mean, Paul sounds like he's pretty abrasive. Maybe they didn't like the way he taught. We don't know, but they walked away. They chose to walk away from the truth. And one thing, remember, faithful relationships are uncomfortable. If you have a strong relationship, at times it's an uncomfortable relationship because we share things that cut. We share things that hurt. But I know myself, I want to be committed to sharing things with you that hurt. Right? Because, you know, I need to. I call that love. If you're doing something, you're in a behavior that's detrimental to you and to the people that you love, you need to hear that. And can I, let me be honest though. In my experiences with that, it usually doesn't end well. It doesn't end well. People don't like being told those things. They don't like being confronted. Now, does that mean I'm going to stop doing it? Absolutely not. See, because listen, here's the thing about relationships and every one of us being accountable to one another. Okay, I'm going to stand before God someday. And I don't want to hear God say, hey, Gary, you should have told Jared that what he was doing wasn't right. And you didn't want to do it because you didn't want him to be mad at you. I'm standing before God by myself, all right? I fear that moment in a healthy way, that I will share what I feel God wants to be shared, even if it hurts, all right? Can you agree with that? See, so what we're saying then is healthy relationships at times are uncomfortable. Do you have any healthy relationships that make you uncomfortable? We need those in our lives. It's necessary for us to have them. Because, man, you know, when I look at this unfaithful and faithful, you know, there's no in-between ground, right? It's like, Paul's like, hey, there's the faithful and there's the unfaithful. There's no, like, little middle ground, like, mostly faithful. That's where most of us would like to live. I want to live in the mostly faithful camp. No, Paul says there's faithful and unfaithful. You're either leaning in or you're leaning back. Are you leaning in to be all that God has for you, to meet the potential God has? Are you leaning in then to be connected to people and be one who has these strong relationships, or are you leaning back? You're one or the other. There's no middle ground. You're either leaning in or leaning back. What we have here are some people that have leaned in, and they're willing to open up their hearts and their lives, their homes even, to gather people together, that we can walk this walk together in the next 14 weeks. And connection group leaders and apprentices, can you stand up? Stand up real quick. These people that are standing up right now, they're all people that are leading small groups. And again, people that are saying, I'm going to lean in. I'm going to lean in. I want to be in those relationships to help people reach their full potential. Okay, and again, we're going to call them up in just a couple minutes to have them pray, but I just wanted to recognize them now. And thank you. Can I thank you for leaning in? Thank you. Thank you for being people that lean in. Amen? Amen. You can be seated just for a couple minutes. Then we're going to call you back up here. You know, joining a group at times, you know, again, it takes your time. Yes, it is demanding. Yes, but you know, one of the things I really like this saying. Next slide, please. Just catch this. Again, Jesus doesn't ask you to count the cost, but he asks you to pay the price. You know, pay the price. He never asked you to be a spiritual accountant. Okay, good. God, we know God wants us to be in strong relationships because that's the only way we go forward. All right, that's the only way we go forward, and so this is the people we want to be. So, pay the price. Get into a group that you can give yourself away and at times receive back. But we want you to go to give yourself away. It'll change your life. It'll change who you are. Amen? God, what he said, but you have to make a choice. Donna, come on up here. Donna just my wife, Donna, come on up here. And we know, said, those who know my wife, she doesn't volunteer to come up here. But God, I know, has spoken to her something about connection groups.
It didn't really dawn on me until I actually went to connection group training. I'm sorry, I am like right in the, can I step down one? Thank you. Thank you. I missed our connection group training, and so I had to go another campus for their training, and Pastor Rick actually happened to be the one that was teaching that day. He asked this question, and he says, when was the first connection group you led? And I was like, well, I could say the one we led with Word and Worship, or the one we led with Bridge City, or the one we led in Hosanna. So I have three different dates. And he's like, no, the very first connection group you and Pastor Gary led was in 1983. We were one of the first connection groups. And out of that, God just started giving me things of the relationships that you actually build. I still have relationships with some of those same people. In fact, the home that we started our connection group in, some of you may know the Youngs, Roy Ann and Randy Young. Well, Roy Ann is less, she's married. Yeah, they're in North Braddock. But they still call me sister. And I still call them sister and brother. That's how close that we got in that first connection group. I still have women that will still, in relationship, when we all get together, they have no problems asking me those tough questions. And if I'm off, they have no problems confronting me. For 40 years, I can't tell you what God can do for you in 40 years. And as I started really focusing on that this year, and we started talking more about it, it's wild, people. I don't know what your story is or where you've come from or how long you've been following the Lord, but it's never too late to start those 40 years and build those relationships. They keep you going in the toughest of times. So I encourage you guys to all find one and get connected. It's a ride of a lifetime.
Amen. Just want to end with this last scripture. Thank you so much, lady. This is Ephesians chapter 4. And listen, again, all this is out of Ephesians. Ephesians is, Paul is speaking so much about life in the church. That whole book, it's like, this is what the church is supposed to be. He says this now. He says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body, one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. He's saying, what kind of effort are you supposed to make? Every effort. Every effort. Make every effort. This is important that we are together. It's important that we build relationships that last. It's important we have relationships that lead somewhere. Relationships that help us meet our potential in God. Right? And again, what's interesting is some of us, we've avoided this type of relationship for years. And all the while, the Father in heaven has been saying, this is what you need. This is what you need. We do this together. We do this together. So again, right now, I'd like to have all the connection group leaders come on up front here real quick. Come on up front. All those leading and apprentices. And real quick, so we just want to pray for them. I'm thankful. Are you thankful they're willing to do this? Amen? And they count it as an honor. Okay. Amen, amen, amen. We got different groups here. Why don't you get by the person you're serving with would be good. Okay, I just play musical leaders. And Carrie, you come over this way. Okay, all right. All right, amen. Just real quick, said Joe and Ryan are leading a group that's going to be in their home, and it's going to be studying the book of Romans. Kara and Hannah are leading a ladies group, and it's called Rhythms of Renewal. I knew it was about rhythms. Okay, Rhythms of Renewal. Doug, his wife is ill today, and Leanne, they're doing leading a study on books of Timothy and Titus. Donna and I are leading a big idea group, which means we're going to talk about the preaching, which is so good. And Rachel and Chuck are going to be leading a co-ed group. It's going to be a freedom group, which talks about how to maintain your freedom in God, get free and maintain freedom. So these are opportunities that we have that right out of our campus. There's also a Financial Peace University group. If you're struggling with finances, that meets at North Braddock. Okay, just want to make you aware of that also. All right, but again, these are the leaders that we have, people that have willingly stepped up. I hope you're all smiling right now. Willingly stepped up to say, I want to serve. I want to lean in and help people grow. Can you stretch your hand out towards them? We could pray. Father, we thank you again, God, for people willing to lean in and say, here's my life, God. Use me. Let me be strong in the grace of God. We pray that these teams could all be strong in God's grace. Strong in God's grace, that people could take that next step, that they could have a secure environment, such a safe environment, that people can be open and can grow. That's what we're crying out for, God. Let this be a semester of small groups that we can remember. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen.